Welcome to GlobalWafers 6488.TW Q3 2019 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we'll conduct a question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star followed by the number one. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect from the conference. Now, I'll hand the meeting over to your host, Sunny Lin. You may now begin.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon and good morning, everyone. I'm Sunny Lin, semiconductor analyst at UBS. It's our great honor to host GlobalWafers management today for their Q3 earnings release. Now, let me hand over the call to Mr. William Chen, the spokesman of GlobalWafers, for opening remarks.
Thanks, Sunny. Hello, everyone. Welcome joining GlobalWafers 2019 Q3 earnings call. I'm William Chen, GlobalWafers Vice President, as well as company spokesman. We also have Doris Hsu, Chairperson and CEO of GlobalWafers in this call. Doris will give us the executive comments later, and then I will present the company and the industry overview and the 2019 Q3 performance update. The final Q&A session will be hosted by Doris as well. For today's presentation file, we have just uploaded onto company website about 2 hours ago. If you do not have the file on hand, please access into our website to get the most updated file. Please note that some information during our discussion today will consist of forward-looking statements, which are applied throughout the call and this presentation. These are subject to significant risks and uncertainties. Actual results or trends could differ materially from our forecast. Please refer to the safe harbor notice in our presentation, page 2, disclaimer. Now, I'd like to turn the call over to Doris for page 3, executive comments, and I will report you our 2019 Q3 operational performance after. Doris, please.
Thank you, William. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today, let me start with GlobalWafers' accumulated first three quarters of 2019 overall performance. Well, GWC achieved a record high on revenue, net income, and EPS of the first nine months of 2019. If you have our material on hand, please see the table on page 3 of our presentation material. We have a small table there. The revenue of the first three quarters of 2019 is 2.6% higher than the same period last year. Gross margin, operating profit, net income, and EPS are all better than last year. Not only the first nine months of this year, matter of fact, the trailing 12 months, that means that from Q4 last year to Q3 this year, was the best 12 months we have ever achieved on all aspects as well. In the past 9 to 12 months, actually, we have been facing a lot of unexpected headwinds and uncertainties from macroeconomic softness, geopolitical issues, industry inventory adjustments, and super lengthy and complicated trade tensions. I am very pleased that GlobalWafers keep navigating these challenges carefully, and so far, we are performing okay. However, I would like to remind that all of those uncertainties and challenges are not over yet. Uncertainties and industry demand softness continue. Business visibility is still very low. More and more companies in the industry are getting more optimistic for 2020 overall performance. In general, the overall market situation is improving gradually from our viewpoint. From wafer categories aspect, 300 millimeter wafer starts recovering first. We start seeing a lot of rush orders here and there for 300 millimeters. 200 millimeter demand is still slow and kind of flattish. We do see a couple of small rush orders for 200 millimeter, but in general, 200 millimeter improvement is much slower than 300 millimeter. It's basically flattish. 150 millimeter or small diameter wafer demand is much weaker than the other two bigger diameter, 200 and 300 millimeter. But a positive side is that 150 millimeter inventory status did improve a lot this year. 150 millimeter inventory now is much lower than the end of last year. So most of our 150 millimeter 6-inch wafers are for automotive and power devices. And you know, the demand of those applications pretty weak this year. So I think small diameter demand maybe will be improved gradually. Maybe it will be from the second half of next year. It will be much slower than the other two diameters. That's our general view for the market outlook. In general, although uncertainties and low visibility continue, but we are seeing more and more positive outlook for 2020 from many of our customers. Of course, being the front end of the supply chain, silicon wafer business section recovery is always 1 to 2 quarters behind our customers. This will be still the case this year. So now let me move to inventory status in the industry. Many of our customers have very good reduction on their inventory in Q3. Q2 was the inventory peak, but we do see a lot of reduction in Q3 for all diameters. And this inventory adjustment, but we think that this inventory adjustment will continue in Q4 and maybe even early 2020, that inventory adjustment will continue. Now, not only our customers are improving their inventory level, GWP also, we well managed to lower our inventory level in Q3 as well. We lowered our inventory from 7.9 billion NT dollars down to 7.3 billion NT dollar in Q3. It's around 8% down. We lower our inventory by lowering our production loading. And this low loading, of course, did cause negative impact for our gross margin. It's around 1.5% down to our Q3 overall gross margin. But that makes the company overall operation more solid. So operation excellence is always one of the key focus for our management team. That was why even we understood that low loading will cause some negative impact to our gross margin, but we still did lowered our loading in Q3. Last but not the least, GWC just announced a dividend policy change this afternoon. Thanks to our stable financial performance, GWC board this afternoon approved to change the dividend payout frequency of GWC from once a year to once every 6 months. This is in line with the international practice, and this dividend payout once every 6 months policy will be beneficial for our shareholders. They can do reinvest or make any flexible use of the funds on their own. So this is also a policy to fulfill GWC commitment to share the constant growth with our shareholders. Of course, this is just a board resolution, and we need to get shareholders' approval for this kind of important project. So we will propose this to our AGM next year for this. William later on will have further details on this point later on. This concludes my presentation. Thanks a lot for your attention. I will stop here, and I'll pass the presentation to William, and I'll come back again for the Q&A after William's presentation. Thank you, everyone. William, please.
Thank you, Doris. Let me continue the company and the industry overview, also Q3 financial results. Please turn to page 6, company overview. GlobalWafer was spin off from our parent company, SAS, in 2011. We are number 3 silicon wafer supplier in the world. There are a total of 16 operational sites in 9 countries to produce full-scale products. Headquarters located in Hsinchu, Taiwan. For 300 millimeter, there are total four fabs now in Taiwan, Korea, and Japan to flexibly support our worldwide customers. Middle of next year, one more new fab to be joined and mass production in Korea. Now, we just share some more pages for recent industry overview, especially for the booming applications in 5G, 5G smartphone, AI, IoT, and automotive semiconductor. Page 8, worldwide semiconductor revenue. After 2 years super cycle growth in 2017 and 18, as of 21.6% and 13.7% respectively, 2019 is estimated to be down around 13.3%. In 2020, however, all regions are forecasted to grow again, with the overall market up 4.8%. Page 9, annual silicon shipments. As stable, worldwide silicon wafer area shipments in 2018 totaled 12,541 million square inch, hitting the record high. 2020 semiconductor industry is expected to stabilize and gradually recover with 3.5% growth in 2021 and 3.2% growth in 2022. Page 10, new fabs to start construction in 2020. The new fabs investments start construction in 2020 are expected to reach nearly $49 billion, up from $38 billion in 2019. Furthermore, this September estimated month by semi organization were not including TSMC's latest increasing investment in Taiwan. For sure, this increasing new fab construction will stimulate demand for high quality wafers. Page 11, semiconductor content in electronic system. The increasing trend of semiconductor content in electronic systems has been evident for past 30 years. Beginning in 2020, the semiconductor content percentage is anticipated to once again resume its climb and eventually reach a new high of 31.8% in 2023. Page 12, worldwide 5G network infrastructure revenue. In 2020, worldwide 5G wireless infrastructure revenue will reach $4.2 billion. It's 89% increase from 2019 revenue of $2.2 billion, and another 63% increase to $6.8 billion in 2021, demonstrating strong 5G rollout acceleration. Page 13. 5G smartphone shipment forecast. 2019 is an introducing year of commercial deployment for 5G smartphone, will rapidly ramp up in next few years. The researchers are expecting worldwide shipments will surge to 120 million devices in 2020 and double devices in 2021. Page 14. AI market size forecast. Global artificial intelligence AI market size was valued at $20 billion in 2018 and is projected to reach $202 billion in 2026 at 33.1% CAGR. Page 15, the 5G IoT market size. Though it's huge growth in 5G IoT market, from $0.7 billion in 2020 up to $6.3 billion by 2025 at 55% CAGR. Page 16, component of the connected car. In the next decade, more semiconductor content being added to automotive electronics and the subsystems for automation, electrification, connectivity, and the security. Page 17, automotive semiconductor device growth. To meet automotive increase in complexity functions. More types of semiconductor components had been required in the developed. Please refer to this page, product segments, and their significant growth, also market size. They will be driving up the semiconductor devices and the wafer demands in the future. Page 18, cost contribution of automotive semiconductor. The technology advancement makes automotive semiconductor a great growing opportunity. The automotive electronics cost will increase from 40% of total car cost in 2020 up to 45% in 2030. Among them, containing $475 semiconductor device price per car in 2020 to be up to $600 per car in 2030. Besides, the average cost of semiconductor chips in a self-driving car will be almost triple than the normal car as of today. Now, let's move to 2019 Q3 financial performance update. Page 20. 2019 Q3 financial highlights. For Q3 financial performance, the first, YOY revenue and the gross margin. Q3 revenue and the gross margin dropped 5.7% and 1.2% respectively due to the macro uncertainties and soft market. However, 2019 first three quarters cumulative revenue, gross margin, operating profit, net profit, and EPS not only exceeded 2018 first three quarters but also reached company all-time high three quarters record. The second, EPS. Q3 EPS amounts to $7.64. Cumulative three quarters EPS, $24.67, which is equivalent to nearly 80% of 2018 full year. The third, financial leverage. We still keep sufficient net cash position in Q3 as of $37.9 billion. Also, we hold with high prepayment as of $21.6 billion. Page 21, multiple dividend distribution. As Doris mentioned right now, with company constant operating profit and healthy free cash flow position at this page, GWC board approved today for the dividend distribution amendment to change the timing of earnings distribution from 1 year to every 6 months. This multiple dividend distribution will be beneficial to shareholders for reinvest and flexible use of funds. Besides, with a robust checking record of dividend payments, $10 in 2017 and $25 in 2018, about 80% dividend payout ratio, which is reflecting GWC's commitment to share the constant growth to all shareholders. Page 22, financial highlight. 2019 first three quarters versus 2018 first three quarters. As Doris presented right now, 2019 first three quarters cumulative financial performance, revenue, EBITDA, operating profit, net profit, and EPS were all exceeding the same period in 2018, also hit the company record high. Page 23, financial highlights, 2019 Q3 versus 2018 Q3. As known, last year, 2018 Q3 was near the market demand peak. With the strongest demand, GWC all-size capacity were all fully loaded. Comparing to 2018 Q3. This year, 2019 Q3, has YOY 5.7% revenue decline, 0.7% net profit percent drop, and 0.67 NT dollars EPS decreasing. It was the result of softer demand from macro uncertainties. Page 24, revenue and the gross margin. Comparing to previous quarter, the QOQ revenue slightly declined 2.7%. QOQ gross margin percentage dropped 2.3%. Mainly attributed as two parts. The first, unloaded capacity charge 1.5%. As Doris mentioned right now, in Q3, we idled some capacity to reduce the more than 600 million NT dollars inventory from 7.9 billion NT dollars in Q2 to 7.3 billion NT dollars in Q3. The second, ASP dropping 0.8% impact. This drop was including both market spot price little erosion and product mixing change. However, for LTA price, same as previous quarters, there was nothing amended at all in this quarter. Page 25, EBITDA and EPS. Despite of economic turbulence, we reached 17.7 billion NT dollars EBITDA and 39.7% EBITDA percentage in Q3, in first three quarters. That was the best ever first three quarters EBITDA to revenue percentage. EPS amounts to 24.67 NT dollars. That was also surpassing 80% of 2018 full year EPS. Page 26, financial leverage. By 2019 Q3, GWC has solid financial results, withholding net cash 38 billion NT dollars, which including around 22 billion NT dollars prepayment, and with 11 billion NT dollars bank loan this quarter owing to dividend distribution. This sufficient net cash position would be company reinforcement of sustainable development in the future. Page 27, income statement. In this income statement, just a recap. GWC 2019 Q3, all these items, gross profit margin percentage, EBITDA margin percentage, operating profit margin percentage, profit before tax margin percentage, net profit margin percentage were all-time high in company history. All of them had a significant growth in 2018. Page 28, balance sheet. We were continuously increasing company 2019 Q3 assets to 96.7 billion NT dollars, which was 6.9 billion NT dollars more than 2018 December. This increased amount was mainly coming from Q3 cash generated from operating profits. Also in this quarter, we reduced more than 600 million NT dollars inventory from 7.9 billion NT dollars in Q2 to 7.3 billion NT dollars in Q3, just record. For the short-term loan increase to 10.7 billion NT dollars, that was caused by dividend distribution. Above is my presentation for Q3 financial results. Thank you. Next, I would like to hand over to Sunny for Q&A session hosted by Doris. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Willem. Let's begin the Q&A session. Please limit your questions to two at a time. I would like to start with two questions from my side, if I may. So number one, In terms of long-term agreement, management has been saying that more than 80 to 90% of 8 to 12 inch inch capacity this year is bundled with LTA. Wondering if you can give us a guidance for 2020. And also within Logic, given the improving outlook, are you seeing a re-accelerating engagement from customers for the new contracts?
Thank you, Sunny. Let me answer these two questions. First of all, 2020 LTA coverage. LTA coverage in 2020 will be lower than 2019 because some of the LTA will be expired by end of 2019. And there are not that many new LTAs signed in the last couple of quarters. So LTA 2020 LTA coverage will be slightly higher than 2019. 300 millimeter LTA coverage percentage is still higher than 200, and 150 millimeter LTA coverage is lowest. This is my answer to your first question. And the second question is talking about that, yes, the market is improving, but the improvement it's very gradually. So far, we are working with some customers for new LTAs, but not as many as the past. And those new LTAs under discussions are mainly for advanced technology 300 millimeter products or some specialty wafers, including silicon carbide or specialty 200 millimeter and 300 millimeter, some special wafers. So, but for ordinary wafers like 300 millimeter polished wafer or 200 millimeter ordinary wafers, to answer your question, there is no new LTAs under discussion now. So I think, but it's just a very early stage of the market recovery. I think maybe by end of 2020, when the market recovery is more solid, then at that time maybe more of the customers will want to secure their future supply as well. That's our guess, but not yet. Thank you, Sunny.
I see. I have a very quick follow-up. So I understand in the short term, the macro environment is still very uncertain. So under this kind of environment, will the company adopt different LTA strategies for the next 2 years to encourage customers to sign with you, like in terms of pricing, volume, and prepayment terms?
I think that the structure, the LTS will be a little bit different. This time, new LTS, the whole scheme will be different from 2017, 18, 19. Several key factors are different. Number one is the product-wise. I think the last 3 years, the LTAs basically covered everything, even ordinary products. But now all the new LTAs basically were talking about specialty wafers or advanced products. And the second difference is the period. I think in the last 3 years, we did sign a lot of long LTAs. Some LTAs are even longer than 5 years. But it seems that this time when we are talking about new LTAs, that those not so many, I think most of our customers are not more conservative. They don't want to have real long LTAs anymore. So basically it will be somewhere around 2 years or 3 years. That's the majority. And the third difference of new LTA and old LTA is prepayment. I think for new LTAs, customers are not that, for new LTAs, customers are not that very willing to commit with a big prepayment, not like the last 2-3 years. So this is still under discussion right now. So these are quite different. And price-wise, so far, the LTA we are signing are of the price higher than the past, but it's not because of that the market ASP is higher. It's just because that the product we're signing LTA now, we're discussing LTA now, are most of them are specialty product or advanced product. So, of course, those products are more difficult to produce, costs are much higher, so of course the signing LTA prices are higher. So I hope this makes myself clear.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you very much, Doris. Operator, will you please open the system for Q&A?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may press star followed by the number two. One moment, please, as we wait for the first question. Our first question comes from the line of Patrick. Your line is now open.
Hello, this is Haas from Credit Suisse. Congratulations on the good results, and thanks for taking my questions. So my first question is regarding your 2020 business outlook. According to your slide 9 in your presentation, the global silicon shipment will only grow 1-2% year-on-year in 2020, and followed by 3.5% in 2021. While the raw wafer supply is going to grow at a CAGR of 4.4-5% year-on-year. So with supply continuing to outgrow the demand and still high raw wafer inventory at current level, what's your initial view on the shipment and pricing outlook in 2020? Thank you.
I think the product mix of 2020 will be quite different from 2017-2018. It will be more similar to the second half of 2019. So, yes, the wafer demand, according to the forecast, the demand will be square inch-wise will be around 3. Square inch-wise will be just slightly higher. Product mix will be very different. For example, we believe that the epi wafer, the weight of the epi wafer for 2020 definitely will be higher than the past. So we think that 2020 market, the growth will be, I think our general outlook is that the first half will be much weaker than second half, and polished wafer will be much weaker than epi wafer, and small diameter will be much weaker than bigger diameter. That's our view for next year. And price-wise, I think next year maybe dollar per square inch will be slightly higher than this year. And the reason for this is because the products will be different. Product mix will be different.
So you think the industry pricing will be higher than this year?
Yes. If we are talking about dollar per square inch, if we calculate dollar per square inch, I think ASP will be higher than this year. But that is not apples to apple comparison, because next year's product mix will be different from this year. So if we change the question to that, what about the PW? Polished wafer dollar per square inch, what would be the price trend? Then I would say that same product and the price next year should be a little bit lower than this year. But if we are talking about that the general dollar per square inch, then next year dollar per square inch should be higher than this year because the product mix change.
Hey, that's very helpful. My second question is regarding the inventory levels on both your side and your customer's side. So your inventory level continues to stay at a high level in 3Q despite some improvements. Do you think the trend will continue in the next couple of quarters because of the still pretty slow raw wafer demand? And also for your customers, could you share why your view is different from your peers that they think that their customers' raw wafer inventory level will continue to grow in the next 1-2 quarters? Thank you.
Okay. First of all, GWC inventory level, in the last several 2-3 years, even our revenue came up so much in the last several years, but our inventory level was always somewhere around 7 billion to 7.3 billion. end of Q2 this year was an exceptional high. We reached somewhere around 7.9 billion in Q2 last year. So our 7.3, this is our standard level. Even our revenue now is so much higher than 2 years ago, but our total inventory level is still very high. So our DOI, actually our overall DOI, is one of the very healthy company in the industry. And I think the next several months, several quarters, I don't expect too much inventory change from GWC, because 7 billion to 7.3 billion, this is our standard, very healthy level. So I think we'll be still very close to this range. This is our inventory status. Even 2020, I think we'll be very close to this level. And talking about customers' inventory, I think from public information from all the customers released to which have already made their Q3 earnings call and released their numbers, most of the customers who have already released their Q3 numbers have shown good improvement on inventory. So most of the customers are DOI at end of Q3 is much lower than end of Q2. So inventory, the whole industry inventory, is really coming down very smoothly. I'm talking about our customer, not our section. So I mean the foundry, the IDMs, our customers, that space, I think inventory did come down in Q3. And I think this trend will continue. Part of the reason, I think some of the customers, like many of our European partners, they made a very similar strategy like what we did. In order to make the company overall inventory more healthier, they intentionally lower their loading rate, suffer gross margin a little bit, but try to lower their inventory. So we do see a lot of customers improving their inventory level. And not only European customers, many Taiwanese and American customers also, they show good improvement on DOI at end of Q3. But I believe that this is not the end of the inventory adjustment. I think that inventory correction will continue at least for 1 or 2 to 3 quarters. So Q3, definitely, I think Q4, end of Q4, this is a year-end quarter. So I believe that more customers will try very hard to make their year-end, the whole 2019 year-end inventory level as healthy as possible. So I believe that we will be facing more pressure from our customers to push out some of their Q4 volume to early Q1 shipment. I think that is very likely. So from our view, I think inventory correction will not end by end of Q4. It will be lasting maybe for 1 or 2 more quarters, but it will be much mild than this year. So it's not as drastic as Q3 anymore. So it would be mild. And I know that some of our customers' inventory level has already reached their standard already, but I think that they will still try to make it a little bit deeper by the end of the year. So that's our view.
Okay. Could you my question was actually regarding your customers' ROI for inventory, because as you just mentioned, that was very helpful. As you just mentioned, that your and some of other customers are adjusting down their production schedule or the utilization to try to keep their inventory at a more healthy level exiting 2019. But will it actually impact your their ROI for procurement plan, because they push out their production so they don't need as many ROI for
definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yes, definitely.
The ROI for inventory correction will probably last longer than as you expected, probably through 2020.
No, not really. The numbers the numbers, the inventory, DOI numbers, our customers, all of these customers release to the market, the total DOI. But when our account manager talk with these customers, we definitely would check our specific, our raw wafer inventory level. Of course, those are confidential information, but I know that some of our customers are still suffering from high inventory, but quite some of our customers, they have improved a lot. Not only the finished good inventory went down, but also the raw wafer inventory is very healthy as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. So I think that the inventory correction will be mild in next year, but as the upper stream of the supply chain, I think that definitely for silicon wafer recovery will be a couple quarters later than our customers do.
Okay, thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Tony Tan. Your line is now open.
Good evening, Chair Lady and William. Before I ask question, I have a follow-up to William's remarks on gross margin. So the third quarter gross margin came down around 2.3% from second quarter. So could you remind us again on, so I heard is that 1.5 percentage point is mainly from lower utilization rate and 0.8% impact from ASP decline, correct?
Let me answer this one. 2.3% down in Q3 versus Q2. 1.5 from the low loading, because we have some unloaded charges for Q3 due to lower loading. And another several reason for the balance 0.8%. One is that the product mix change, and the second is ASP came down a little bit as well in Q3, because that's the second half of the so we have some negotiation and some push out, and also we have some spot orders which is lower than the original. The original LTA price. And another reason that William didn't cover in his presentation is that actually in Taiwan there was an earthquake in August, and that caused quite some impact, also loss for our production in Taiwan. And you know, when you have earthquake loss, that's the COGS loss, but when you get the insurance compensation from insurance policy, actually that came from other income. So gross margin wise, it looks like that, oh, your gross margin went down, but actually cash flow wise were okay. So those factors, ASP, lower ASP, product mix difference, and some earthquake impact, these together sum up 0.8% of the gross margin down.
Got it. Thank you so much. So my first question is regarding to our outlook in terms of the demand recovery from memory for 12-inch wafers. When are you expecting to see some recovery, maybe for NAND and for DRAM? I think because maybe gold wafers have more exposure to DRAM, so I would like to hear your thought on when should we expect the DRAM demand could recover and to bring some wafer orders to us, and as well as 8-inch wafers.
Yeah, you're right that we don't have much NAND business, so most of our memory business are DRAM business. So let me comment a little bit on DRAM. DRAM now, I think now is the bottom, it start recovering a little bit, but the problem for DRAM wafer, the problem is high inventory. Some of our customers, raw wafer inventory is still high, So for that part of wafers, I think our we will not. I think the recovery will be will take a little bit longer than the other applications. That's our view. But it's very hard to tell them to when the recovery will start. That's even we talk with our customers. They also they don't want to disclose. They don't want to give us any firm schedule. But a good thing is that all of our DRAM supply, we have very strong LTAs covered. So I think our shipment volume will be kind of stable. That's our view because of LTA. The memory, our wafer, our memory, LTAs for memories haven't been expired yet, and even by end of 2020, the LTA will be still alive, or even, you know, it's a long LTA, so it's not, it will not be expired in 1 or 2 years. So we'll be okay. We definitely believe that when the market is bad, we'll be still okay.
And the follow-up is 8-inch, because we have quite meaningful sales contribution from 8-inch and 6-inch below, so
yeah.
I'm wondering what kind of contribution we have right now, and what do you think about the demand recovery timeline? Thanks.
Yeah, 8-inch is tough now. Demand is pretty soft. But we still have quite okay LTA coverage for 8-inch. Not as high as 300 millimeter, but we still have some LTA coverage, even 2020. So, but you are very right that I think that in general, 8-inch demand is weak. But it's not getting worse anymore. I think we start seeing that customers are asking some short lead time shipments here and there. So we start seeing some recovery. It's the bottom. For 8-inch, it's the bottom, and it starts picking up, but very gradually, very slowly, much slower than 300 millimeter.
Oh,
that's our view. And for 6-inch wafers, of course, 6-inch wafer for us, the percentage is pretty low. In the past, it's always somewhere around 15 to 20%. And now it's still double digit, but it's much lower now for us, the weight of 6-inch wafer business. But we have, maybe that is a little bit surprise to the market, but we do have LTAs for 6-inch as well. And that 6-inch, those 6-inch, some of those 6-inch LTAs will continue even in 2020. So it's not expired yet. We still have very good LTA. And those LTA do help us a lot because we demand customers, they of course reschedule the shipment a little bit, but they still honor the LTA even for small diameter. So our small diameter now, the loading is lower than 200 meter, but it's not crazy low. It's still okay. For example, our Malaysia fab, the loading rate is still somewhere around 70%. So it's not that bad. And you know, for a 6-inch wafer, what's better than the 8-inch and 12-inch is that 6-inch inventory in the industry is much lower than the other two diameters. Part of the reason is because that there were not so many LTAs for 6-inch in the market. So those 6-inch automotive customers, when they slowing down, when they found that the demand is really soft, and they immediately stopped the wafer purchase. Not like the other diameter, because so many LTAs, so no matter how slow their demand, how weak their demand is, they still have to pull in some wafers because of LTA. But not for small diameter. There's very little LTA for 6-inch in the market, and we, very luckily, we do have some very good and strong, very okay 6-inch LTAs. So LTA, the inventory in the market is healthy, much healthier than the other two diameters.
Got it. My second question is regarding to the Korea Fab progress. So could you kindly give us some update on maybe, I think we are under customer qualification, so when do you think we can ramp up to 150K wafer per month capacity, maybe by 2020, or now it's like in early 21? And also, I think that is highly related to the DRAM demand recovery as well. So
yes.
I'm just curious about what kind of loading rate or capacity playing into the second half next year, and what kind of depreciation cost should we put in our model, or what kind of a gross margin you're expecting if we start to ramp
yeah.
the Korea fab? Thank you.
Yes, thanks for asking MKC new fab, our Korean new fab. That first of all, that new fab, the whole construction has already been completed at the end of October. And we start tool moving from November. So it's in the phase of tool moving now. We start moving the tools, but the tool installation, tool moving, basically we adjust the schedule based on customer demand. So we work very closely with our customers to adjust the inventory, adjust the moving a little bit. Part of the reason is because of the customer demand and inventory adjustment, but another part of the reason is because that we want to control, make sure that the depreciation happen, the depreciation and the real demand, these two schedule match. That's our goal. So to answer your question, that when will we reach 150,000 wafers a month? I think we will start ramping up this new line from end of Q2 next year, because as I said, that we start moving in tools from November, so just starting from this month we start moving in, and I think that maybe in Q1 many of our tools will be installed completely and released to the production, but then we have to prepare a sample for qualification. That's a new fab, so and we work with our customer for a lot of advanced products. So we need to get customer qualification, and because of the demand, I think definitely customers will not run super hard run like 2 years ago for this kind of qualification. So I believe that the qualification will take a little bit longer, a little bit more time than 2 years ago qualification procedure. So I think that the whole ramp-up plan will be a little bit slower, but my guess is that it will be around 1 quarter to maybe 4 months delay for the ramp-up. And when the qualification finished, then we will start from 5K, 6K, 8K, this kind of pace, we start ramping up. So we hope that by end of 2020, we can reach 150,000 wafers a month. That's our goal. So this is a little bit slower than our original plan, but this is not the final plan yet. So we will get the fab qualified, and if the demand recovers better than our expectation, then we'll be very flexible to ramp up faster than what we are expecting. So this is not a firm plan yet. We need to work with our customer to finalize the ramp up plan.
Sorry, actually, can I make sure I'm right? So you said that 150K wafer per month is still the target by end of next year, right?
Yeah, that is the goal. Subject to our discussion, final conclusion with our customer, final agreement with our customer.
And could you remind us when 2 years ago or 1 year ago, what was the original or target by end of 2020?
150 is our full capacity.
Got it. So it was not like 150K by end of third quarter next year originally.
Original schedule. I mean, original schedule is about it's about a quarter ahead. So end of Q3, our goal is to reach fully load the line from Q3 2020. That was the plan. And now we try to push out. We slow down the progress a little bit and try to push out one quarter. So our goal is to reach 150 by end of 2020. This is the plan, but it's not a final plan yet. It's pretty much related to the, how good the inventory digestion and also how good the whole market recovery, especially for DRAM.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So in general, in a nutshell, I think basically our Korean fab delayed somewhere around 4 months, roughly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doris. In the interest of time, let's take the last question from the line, please.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Justin Lee. Your line is now open.
Hello, hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, hi, good evening. This is Thurston Lee from Goldman Sachs. I just have two questions. My first one is to follow up on the depreciation and margin impacts, if we can get an update on that for next year for the Korean fab. My second question is whether or not, you know, we've talked about a lot of these new applications that's coming up, 5G, you know, infrastructure, smartphone side, high-performance computing, and these are really on a lot of the advanced nodes and the die size are really expanding. Is there any way we can quantify how much wafer usage that these applications are really delivering and whether or not that's going to translate to a bigger growth or a bigger rebound, you know, starting in the second half, since that's when you're expecting demand, overall market recovery? Thank you.
Okay, the first question talking about depreciation. I think our depreciation is quite flat. I think we are always somewhere around 5 billion the whole year depreciation level. About 5 billion NT annual depreciation, always around, I think, in the last several years. 2020 maybe will be a little bit higher. It will be somewhere around 15 to 20% higher. I think maybe maybe 15% higher than this year. That's our plan. And because that depends on how aggressive we're moving the tools and start ramping up our production line. You know, the construction, the building depreciation time period is much longer than tools. So building, definitely no doubt, building and infrastructures, that will start have the depreciation for the building from next year. But the tool depreciation, that depends on we manage the schedule of installation, tool installation and depreciation commence time very closely with our customer to make sure that no impact to our overall gross margin. That's our plan. So quickly answer your question number one is that yes, 2020 our depreciation will be slightly higher, around 15% higher than this year. This is my first question, and my answer to your first question. And regarding to your second question, I am not sure if I got you right, but I think that what I heard was that you were asking about 5G, some application, when we will see the big ramp up or the revenue increase from those new applications. I think we... Sorry?
Yes, that's the question. And I think more granularity into how much of our addressable market, you know, wafer usage, are we able to quantify how much that's growing for these new applications? Thank you very much.
Because you know that we are wafer suppliers and we ship our wafers to customers, it's not necessary for us to really 100% sure that this lot, this wafer, this specific batch of the wafers are for what applications. We know, in general, we know that which wafers, based on the oxygen and resistivity and thickness, we know most of them, we know that what will be the applications. So But it's not always specific detail, so I'm sorry that I cannot give you the detailed breakdown, quantified answer for this one. But according to our discussion with our customers, I know that they use our advanced wafers for those 5G applications. I mean, the application, the weight of 5G is much higher than, for 2010 will be much higher than 2019. And we do ship many of our wafers to our customer, and they told us that this is for the infrastructure, 5G infrastructure, and that one is for high-performance computing. So we know this, but we don't specifically know that how many of them are for this one. We know that, okay, this is for 7 nano, this is for 10 nano, but we don't necessarily know that what exactly what's the percentage of this wafers are for what specific application. So sorry, I cannot give you a detailed quantified answer for this.
Okay, that's okay. But is it possible for us to, for example, on a like-to-like basis, for example, you know, someone sends some things like smartphones going from 4G to 5G, regardless of the where the die sizes are growing, but is it are you able to confirm that the wafer usage will be growing at a quite significant rate, which will benefit us. And because we're looking at some of the large industry, you're looking at 1.9% recovery next year, a 3.5% recovery next year. And is that do you think that is a fair statement that fully factors in these wafer usage growth? Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think 5G, yeah, we do see a lot of new demand for 5G. And that 1.9% growth, I don't think that has already factored in the growth of 5G infrastructure demand. That's definitely much higher than this one.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, there are no questions over the phone. Speakers, you may proceed.
Sure. Thank you all for joining the call, and thanks again to Doris and Willem today. This marks the end of the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That concludes today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect.